is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He is based in London. And for the last year and more, Joe's column has routinely paid attention to inflation, the inflation that visits here in the United States, in Great Britain, where Joe is, and across the globe. The inflation driven by, we're told various times, transitory and recovery, supply chain disruptions, and Vladimir Putin. Those are three explanations we've had over these last months. Right now, we have to deal with the fact that Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, is in charge of answering the inflation that we can all see, perhaps double digit, certainly high single digits. Mr. Powell, in these last hours, giving an interview about his plans, he says, quote, "You asked about a soft landing," speaking to the interrogators. "Basically, that's our goal. Our goal is to get demand, use our tools to get demand and supply back in sync so that inflation moves down and do so without a slowdown that amounts to a recession. That's our goal." And I don't think you'll hear anyone at the Fed say that's going to be a straightforward or easy. It's going to be very challenging. Joe, if Jerome Powell had said this a year ago, he would be in a very strong position right now. What do you measure about him saying it in the spring of 22? Has he got enough time before that recession hobbles into place? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. I mean, I think that the problem is that time is never on your side if you are a central banker. And that is particularly true when you're dealing with a situation like we've been confronting over the past more than a year now with signs that inflation was accelerating. And we have seen over the past couple of weeks exactly why that delay is going to, the Federal Reserve's delay in grappling with the inflation problem is going to be so costly. So, when they talk about a soft landing, it is born out of this view, which is very mainstream, that really what the central bank has to do to try to get everything to work out in the end is to properly manage demand within the economy so that you don't end up with an overheated economy. What they actually have to do now that we are starting to see some indications of is also execute a pivot in financial markets so that you can get capital to the productive parts of the economy that you're able to generate more supply to meet the demand that we have, because that's another way that you can deal with inflation. The problem is that kind of pivot on the financial or the capital side of things has become very difficult to pull off because so many imbalances may have developed in different parts of the financial system over the past couple of years as the Fed was pumping more and more money into an economy that was not actually dealing with the demand shortfall. And so, you could kind of see that last week when the markets all of a sudden had a very negative reaction to Jerome Powell's statement that a half point increase in interest rates might be possible at the Fed's next meeting next month. And all of a sudden, stock investors and bond investors didn't seem to be ready for that. And that caused, a lot of confusion and a lot of losses on Wall Street. And the problem is at this point, we're going to see a lot more of that because people are going to have to reorient their attitude toward, how to invest, where to put your capital in this new environment so that it can be more productive.
We also have from the chairman a reflection on past history when the Federal Reserve goes into what is called a tightening cycle. He says in the interview, "So we must do that using our tools to get 2% inflation back, which is the goal." And I think if you look at, for example, if you look at the last tightening cycle, which was a 2-year string of 25 basis points from 2004 to 2006, inflation was a little over 3%. Translation: the last time we went through a tightening cycle, which I believe we're now entering, the inflation target was 2% and it started at 3% to control that. Joe, we're starting at 8, 9, or 10, depending upon how you speak of it. So if I do some logic here, it says that the Federal Reserve is going to be tightening for the next 2 years and aggressively, not quarter point, half point, half point. Is that what the chairman wants us to understand?
Well, yes. I mean, they are signaling that it is going to be pretty aggressive. You've had both Powell last week, and that followed comments from other policymakers at the Fed, such as Lael Brainard, hinting that half point rate rises might be in the works instead of the normal quarter point, and also suggesting that you're going to see a situation where they will increase rates at every meeting, which also has not been something that they've done for a while. They're trying to prepare people, and in fact, they seem to be hoping that if they can send these signals, they will trigger investors to react in such a way that it would be as if the Fed already had increased rates. So they will say, well, when we give these speeches, you have bond sell-offs, which means the interest rates on bonds increase, and you have a correction in equity prices, and these are the things that we would expect to happen if we actually increase rates. But in this case, we've been able to jawbone people into doing that before we even act. Now, I mean, the problem is that this really becomes a big test of the Fed's credibility and their ability to keep that game going. And I think that the bigger problem that no one is really confronting here is that with inflation at the high rates that it's at in the upper single digits right now, that implies you have to do huge interest rate increases in order for the inflation adjusted interest rate to even be positive. Historically, you did need a positive inflation-adjusted interest rate is the basic condition for getting inflation under control. So, I mean, if that's true, we would need to get the Fed setting short-term interest rates even in the 9 to 10% range, because that rate would have to be above whatever the inflation rate is. And they don't seem to be talking about going there. So I think that, we're kind of at the very beginning of the Fed trying to grapple with what they will actually have to do to get the inflation under control.
The excuses, I want to investigate them because maybe all of them haven't gone away. For example, the first excuse, transitory. Let's set that aside. No longer transitory. Supply chain. That does look to be a problem because of what we're hearing out of mainland China. The Shanghai lockdown, the Yangtze River Valley lockdown, the various factories starting and stopping, now possibly Beijing locking down. And the third excuse was Vladimir Putin, the war in Ukraine, which has disrupted worldwide energy prices and food prices. The Federal Reserve is challenged by both of them. Can they answer those problems with the tightening cycle, as the chairman says?
Well, I think that you need to separate out two different issues here. I mean, one is those kind of supply shocks that happen all the time. I mean, these are particularly severe forms of supply shock that we're going through. But that basic phenomenon is not itself unusual. And there can be an impact on the prices of some goods as a result of that. That can trigger some level of inflation. But you've got to keep in mind that what would ordinarily happen if monetary policy were otherwise functioning properly and you had a supply shock of that kind is the relative prices would start to adjust. So it might be that people would have to pay more for imported goods because the Chinese supply chain was snarled up or food prices were going up a bit, in some commodities because of the war in Ukraine. But you would start seeing that households would be shifting more money to that expenditure, and that would be pushing prices down for other things. So the phenomenon that we've seen in the past couple of years, in contrast, is that the prices for everything have been going up. And that is a sign that this is a monetary policy problem as much or more than a supply shock problem, because it means that because of the monetary environment, relative prices are not adjusting in the way that they ordinarily would to keep the economy in some form of equilibrium given the supply shock.
Joseph Sternberg writes political economics. He's based in London for the Wall Street Journal editorial board, where he's a member. we're going to turn from worrying about global inflation to puzzling about Germany, the former leader of the European Union, the European project. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.